الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله I began the session last night where I'm now talking about the glorious pillar of our magnificent deen the blessed pillar of Hajj and I mentioned yesterday some of the important aspects with regards to the Hajj Mabrur. And just to reiterate, to entitle one to the priceless Hajj Mabrur, there's four conditions. The first is controlling one's tongue. The second is speaking kindly to others. The third is spreading As-Salaam. And the fourth is feeding and serving of others. So these are the core deeds you should work around when performing the priceless deed of the Hajj. So another common question asked with regards to the Hajj is with regards to using wealth which is either haram or doubtful. So many people they state, there is no point in myself going for Hajj for the money that I have is not pure. So this is one of the reasons that people don't perform the Hajj, because the money has to be crystal clear, has to be pure. However, this is another misconception, for one should still go to fulfill one's obligation. Hafiz Mullah Ali Khari Rahmatullah Alayh, he clarified in his Kitab al-Manasik, page 8, if a person's earning is doubtful, or he possesses the haram wealth with which he performs Hajj, then Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi states that he should at the very least endeavor to pay for his food and drink from his halal wealth. So note, the scholars are explaining. So Hafiz Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote a book on the rituals of Hajj, Kitab al-Manasik, and he's quoting Imam Ghazali. So a person has got haram wealth he's going to Hajj with, or doubtful. Because the very least is the food and drink that you consume during the Hajj and the journey should be from the pure. If he is unable to do this throughout his Hajj, then he should ensure that he does not use his haram wealth from the time he dons his ihram until it is removed. Right, so you put your ihram on, after that, he goes, strive your best to use the pure wealth. If he is incapable of doing this also, then he should remain remorseful and fearful, i.e. for using what is prohibited. It is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his infinite mercy, on his seeing his remorse and fear, will overlook his fault. So note, again, people speaking without knowledge, and they actually put a person off. And usually the case is the money isn't haram, it's tainted. That's usually the case. You think, look, I've got money, but 15, 20, 30% of it is doubtful. 70% I think is pure. But even in the worst case scenario, the money is haram. Even then, the obligation can be fulfilled, according to the vast majority of scholars. But how then do you perform the Hajj with that wealth? The first port of call is that whatever you eat and drink should be from the halal. So if you've got 70% halal, 30% halal, let's say, from that 30% halal, whatever you consume during the journey to Hajj, during the Hajj, and the return is from the halal. Make sure the food and drink is halal. If you can't do that, then it says that you should not use your haram wealth until you've done the ihram. In other words, do everything you need to do, but once you put the ihram on, maybe delay it as late as possible. Soon as it's on, whatever little halal you've got, use it. But as soon as you come out of the ihram, then take up the restriction is gone. And if you can't even do that, meaning you've got 100% haram, that's the only way I can understand this quote. is that you should then just be fearful and remorseful throughout your entire Hajj. And inshallah, Imam Ghazali said, who knows, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook this failing. So what's amazing about the entire quote is that the ulama did not say it's not accepted. Have you understood? When some people say, brother, you can't go to Hajj, you got a mortgage, you can't go to Hajj, you know, your employment is haram, you can't go to Hajj because you're going on lottery, when you won the lottery, and you're going on lottery, etc., etc. The answer is, the Hajj is a farad, it can be fulfilled. However, you should try your best to do what the ulama have mentioned with regards to taking your precautions as best as possible. So subhanAllah, priceless guidelines from Hujjatul Islam, Imam Ghazali. It was amazing, in those days it was more difficult to even have the haram with you. Today's day and age, so he's like he's talking about the future scenario of the Muslims. In addition, on the issue of wealth, and of course there's a very famous hadith. The hadith mentions in Sahih Muslim that a man comes and he's dust laden and he's making a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious responds, because you've come with the haram, you've ate the haram, you've traveled with the haram, how can I respond to you? You know, to the nearest meaning, very famous hadith. But that hadith is talking about dua. Have you understood? Allah Ta'ala doesn't say the Hajj is not accepted. He's like, how can I respond to you? Meaning the dua is now what's not being accepted. So whatever the case, you should do the Hajj. You shouldn't let that prevent you from doing the Hajj. But of course, if you've got the pure wealth, start your utmost to use the pure wealth. In addition, on the issue of wealth, it is very important to point out that no matter what expenditure is accrued, it will never make you destitute. Rather, the opposite is true. Now, this is interesting. This is a leap of faith. Every year, the Hajj gets more expensive. I think the current rate is about £5,000 or thereabouts. So a lot of people, they think, he goes, this is, you know, it's too much. If they're saying that because they're feeling poverty, that's a shaitanic whisper. No matter how expensive the Hajj becomes, you will never become destitute due to it. Why? In Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 8818 or 5-11, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 5272 or 3-478, Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Haji will never be penniless or poverty stricken. SubhanAllah. A Haji will never be penniless or poverty stricken. That's the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can his words be cancelled out? It can never be cancelled out. Meaning the wealth you spent will never be, you will not even feel it. Let's put it bluntly. And those of you who been to Hajj, if you look back, you actually think you went free. It looks like somebody else paid for the whole package. But during it, you get these whispers of the shaitan. And similarly, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perform Hajj and you will become independent. SubhanAllah. Perform Hajj and you will become independent. This is in Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 8819 or 5-11. Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 5070 or 3-419. Now what does that mean? Independent. It means you become wealthy. So rather than becoming destitute, Allah Ta'ala is promising you wealth. So imagine, hypothetically, the Hajj becomes £20,000. It won't affect you. In fact, you'll get it back with halal interest. This is the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report it mentions, in Nasa'i number 2631, Tirmidhi number 738, Ibn Majah Ahmad, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states, Hassan Sahih, in his Sahih Sunan At-Tirmidhi, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger encouraged, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make the Hajj and Umrah follow up each other closely, for they remove poverty and sins, as the bellows remove the dross of iron, gold and silver, and the Hajj Mabrur brings no reward less than paradise. So this is probably the most famous hadith with regards to this subject. So the Prophet ﷺ said, You should do frequent Hajj and Umrah. Look at the wording. Mindset now is one Hajj. That's it, brother, it's done. And then they start saying the Prophet did one Hajj. I'm following Sunnah. So the response to that is, MashaAllah, yes, that's true. The Prophet passed away 3 months after the Hajj. He hasn't got a chance to do another Hajj. So which Sunnah are you following? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You don't know, but he didn't. He just did one. Okay. How did the Khalifa Rashidin do Hajj? Abu Bakr did 2 Hajjs in 2 years when he was Khalif. Umar did, I'm not sure, 8, 9. Uthman, every year of his life, in his Khilafat, he did Hajj. 11. Then they know the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you do. The other thing which is obvious from what I've mentioned, people use the other excuse. I haven't got time to do the Hajj. Are you Amir al-Mu'mineen? Imagine, you know, if you look at Abu Bakr's Khalifat, and look what Allah Ta'ala put upon his shoulders, you're thinking, no chance he can get Hajj. Impossible. Guess what? He did. And if you look at his Khilafat, it's absolutely baffling. How did he get Hajj? And then you think, well, why is he even thinking of Hajj? Surely, you know, he's got more important things. There you go, more important things. He didn't miss the Hajj. Umar's Khilafat, you know, less stressful, but still, we've been through his life recently. You know, what tremendous exertions he did serving the deen. Still did Hajj. Uthman, in his 70s to 80s, doing Hajj. Imagine. And what Muslim's mindset? I've done my farad. There you go. Right? Look how this deed is being neglected due to ignorance. And then the other holidays, I come back, I feel the worst, brother. You didn't do Hajj Mabrur. You did Hajj. You tick the fiqh box. This is the farad, this is the wajibat. If you do Hajj Mabrur, ask the person. If you tick the boxes of Hajj Mabrur, then you ask that, how do you feel? And it's a big change. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the graphic image he gives. If you put anything into a furnace, the rust falls off very quickly, because that's what Hajj does to your sins. So imagine, we're just full of rust, sins everywhere. As soon as you go to Hajj, look at the graphic image. You go into that furnace, and how do you come out? Pure. Similarly, the Prophet said, it also takes away poverty like that as well. Now look how amazing that is, poverty. So a person goes, but the poor doesn't need to do the Hajj. That's right, it's not farther than him. But he can still do it. You know, people always ask this question, oh, I don't need to do Hajj. Brother, you should never say that. What you should say is, I've been given a concession not to do the Hajj. You know, even the wording shows you're disrespecting this pillar. I don't need to do Hajj. Well, who the hell are you, brother, to make a statement like that? Which person doesn't need to do Hajj? Which one of us doesn't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's like saying, I don't want to meet Allah, I don't need to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would you ever say that? Astaghfirullah. It takes away poverty as quickly as this as well. But note Hajj Mabrur, the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, wealth is an issue with regards to the Hajj, but many misconceptions. One is, I've got impure wealth, I can never do Hajj. Rubbish. Go and do it. Brother, it's absolutely haram, still go and do it. Then he goes, yeah, but if I do spend that money, then I still do it. It's not further than me, brother. Still do it. Look at all these excuses. Still do it. And then the guy's baffled. He goes, well, this is not what were you asking ignorant people for? You know, imagine the Sahaba. Did they ever say, I don't need to do Hajj? You know, show me the report. What other blessings do we get from this immense treasure, this immense pillar of Islam? Not only your wealth increases, other things are also given. What other things? In Ahmed in his Musnad, number 15,787, Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid, number 5,645, 3-604, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullahi states Sahih. In As-Sahiha, number 1,200, 3-197, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perform Hajj and Umrah repeatedly, as frequent performance of both increases one's lifespan, increases your rizq, removes sins, just as fire removes rust from steel. You go to a person, brother, I know something that could add 10 years to your life. When you say that, he's automatically thinking like an atheist. He goes, right, oh yeah, I want to start eating better, look after my diet, Or is it, do I have to go to the gym, brother? Do I have to look? Yeah, you can do all that. There's something much easier than that, brother. Go and do Hajj. And he goes, well, how is that then? It increases my life. Prophet said it. Said Allah, look how amazing. It increases your lifespan. Now, what that exactly means, Allah knows best. It may mean you've got your same lifespan, but Allah gives you tawfiq to do more. Or it means you've got a lengthier lifespan. Don't worry about the fiqh. The Prophet promised it. What else is promised to be increased? Rizq. Look at the things that Shaitan put. Poverty, poverty. Allah Ta'ala is promising through the lips of His beloved messenger, I will increase your rizq if you do Hajj. And of course, the sins being forgiven. In another report, it mentions, in Ibn Majah number 2887, Bihaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman number 4095, or 3-1492, Tarheem number 1714, that our beloved messenger added, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it removes poverty. Look how amazing this wording is. If the Prophet said it removes poverty, why are you doing Hajj? What is that telling you? These are misconceptions. Brother, it's not further than me. You're right, it's not further than you. But if you want to get out of this poverty, go and do Hajj. Imagine saying that to somebody now. Say, brother, I know it's not further than you, but try your best if you can to go and do the Hajj. First thing goes to his head, -5,000. Isn't that true? First thing that goes to his head, -5,000. There you go, brother. So you say, look, it's a leap of faith. The Prophet told you, do you believe his words? It will take away poverty. For instance, I know personally people who've done Hajj, and when they've come back, Allah has blessed them. They've got a better employment, they've got better, and they've said it. Because after Hajj, alhamdulillah, I feel there's so much blessings. Why do you find that strange? The Prophet promised it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaitan is the one who's telling you not to do it. You haven't got time, you've got too many commitments, it's not even further than you. Go and do something else. And the response is, that's his job. But why are you listening to him for? Astaghfirullah. What did the Prophet say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, what else does it do? In Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf number 8815 or 5-10, Kanzul Oman number 11818 to 11842 or 1-453 to 4. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one will be saved from a bad death. Subhanallah. One will be saved from a bad death. This is ultimately our greatest concern. I want to die in a good state. Isn't that your ultimate concern? It should be, unless you've got other concerns. Because that's what the ultimate, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not speak of a person until you see how he passes away. He said that because the people were praising somebody. And the Prophet goes, don't speak about a person until you see how he passes. There's a sign in that. Meaning, this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you die in a good state. A guarantee to die in a good state is if you do Hajj. The Prophet promised it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. Meaning you're successful. It's a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll die in a good state. And if you think this is not important, you know people who've died in a bad state. You don't want to mention their names. You're thinking, astaghfirullah, he was there. He was on toilet. He was, doing this. He was taking drugs. There was no protection. If only he had gone out to do the Hajj, Allah Ta'ala would have protected him. And what's interesting is, you get some people, and they're very sinful. They're committing sins left, right, and center. But because they've done the Hajj, Allah Ta'ala takes their soul when they're in a good state. Look how interesting that is. So for instance, if you're doing 90% good in your life, 10% evil, just by odds, you'll probably die in a good state. But there is a chance you'll die in a bad state. But if you're doing 90% evil, 10% good, just by odds, you're going to die in a bad state. But guess what? Hajj is such a glorious deed. Allah promises, no, he will die in a good state. Think about that. This is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, one is assured of dying with iman. You can't not die in a good state. But unless you got iman and what? The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think to die with iman is a small thing, well, I'm guaranteed that. Then you know better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make a dua, let me die as a Muslim. In Imam Ahmad's Muslim. Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam said the same in the Quran. Let me die as a Muslim. Have you made that dua? If you haven't, what makes you special? How many people thought they were solid, and now what's happened to them? You know people personally. I know people like that. You think, how did they lose his iman? You can't believe it, right? And there you go, arrogance. Did they not make this dua, right? So again, note Hajj, these are the blessings of the Hajj, which you need to be alerted to. Indeed, in one report, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when our Lord decrees good for the person, He inspires him to do a good and then takes away his soul. This is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, number 12,059, 17,937-9. This is a promise. If Allah Ta'ala wants good for you, He will make you do good, then He will take your soul. Meaning you will die in a good state. Therefore, if a person passes away after performing Hajj or Umrah, this is an excellent sign of good fortune. This is a noble death. Have you understood? Somebody does a Hajj and he dies, not during the Hajj, just a few weeks after, months after, Allah Ta'ala is surely going to forgive. But question, how long is that insurance policy after the Hajj? It is related. In Abdul Razak, in his Musannaf number 8829 or 5-14, a man passed away on the 13th of Zulhijjah in Mina. Now what does that mean? If you haven't done Hajj, it doesn't mean Jack. But if you're doing Hajj, what that means is Hajj is finished. It's the last day of Hajj where you stone the shayateen. And Hajj is finished. So this man, imagine, just completed the Hajj, he's passed away. Somebody asked Umar radiallahu, O Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu, my nephew has passed away. Will you thus not now perform his funeral and burial? Look at his response. Subhanallah, what can prevent me from performing the funeral of such a person who committed no sin after being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's of course, it's an honor. So let's look at this. Just completed the Hajj, drops dead. So the man was thinking, Amir al-Mu'mineen, look, he's there. Like I'm telling you, he's doing the Hajj. You know, he's got all that on his plate, we've been through his life. He's doing Hajj. So the person thought, I don't think he'll do it. He's got so much on his blessed hands and shoulders. He respectfully requested it, Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you've got time, please, my nephew's passed away. And look at his response. Umar is shocked because this man hasn't committed a sin after he's been purified. He goes, of course I'm going to do the janazah and I'm going to bury him. Look at how interesting. So this is after the Hajj, not during. He's come out of the Ihram. People say, no, if you're in the Ihram, you've cracked it, but once you come out of it, no guarantee. Who told you that, brother? Which fruitcake's telling you these, you know, myths? Just how long do these great glad tidings last? In Kanzul Umal, number 11,846, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever performs Hajj or Umrah and then passes away in the same year will enter paradise. Whoever fasts in Ramadan and then passes away will enter paradise. Whoever performs jihad and passes away in the same year will enter paradise. Let's look at this. Hajj is in the 12th month of the Islamic calendar. So one way to interpret this is Hajj is finished by the 13th. So you've got 17 days before the new year starts. That's one interpretation. So if you die within 17 days after the Hajj, you are certainly going to paradise. There's no doubt about that. However, the majority of scholars said no. It means 1 year after the Hajj. So imagine, you've done Hajj. Let's use the European calendar, make it easy. So Hajj, it's going to be probably, what month is it going to be? Let's say October. You then pass away next year, September. Because of that Hajj, you're going to paradise. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala promised it. He's extended it till the next year. Now think about this. What if you do Hajj every year? You just constantly renewing your policy. Ya Allah, just in case. Umar did Hajj all his Khilafat. Uthman did Hajj all his Khilafat. Abu Bakr did Hajj all his Khilafat, barring a few years. Why do you think these three greatest companions of the Prophet, despite their immense responsibilities, were doing Hajj? Because they know, we don't know. They know. Now if you love them, you said, look, I don't know why they're doing it, but I'm going to follow them. The problem now is, it's the enlightened age. We're questioning Sahaba. Well, I want to know why he's doing it. Well, who the hell are you, brother? Imagine, who have you popped out from? As if you know better than Khilafat Rashidin. And who are you looking after? That you're so concerned about the Hajj. So it should be something you should be eager for, not a burden. Your people treat it as a burden. How many people come to me, they go, I'm going to Hajj this year, Yusuf. And I look at the expression, and it's like, God help us. And I'm thinking, I stop for a laugh, and I say, brother, you know, you're a guest of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how, you know, and you got to be honest, it's just out of ignorance. If you really knew, you'd be going to the person, brother, Allahu Akbar, and Abdullah has invited me. I can't wait to go. Why? Because he's done his research. And all of this was known. So let's look at this hadith. What did the Prophet say? Hajj or Umrah. Not just Hajj. Somebody goes, brother, Hajj, you know, Alhamdulillah, beautiful thing, you've explained it. Can I do Umrah? And I get a year policy. Yes. Next minute, right, book me in. When's the next Umrah trip? But there you go, in it, brother. What's the tragedy? We don't hear these reports. All we hear is a dry fig. Brother, make sure that left shoulder is uncovered, and make sure that you don't touch the Kaaba, and make sure you go anti-clockwise. How is that going to inspire the person? That's like a military regime you're giving him. This is what inspires the person. He goes, Allahu Akbar, I'm going to get those Umrah in. Imagine, I've got a year grace. That, now think about that. Does that mean that you can sin for a year and you're guaranteed paradise? The response is that Allah is looking at you, you're still his guest. Look how he's looking after his guests. You've left. He goes, he's still my guest for a year. Then the policy wears out. That's why the Prophet said, Hajj and Umrah, Hajj and Umrah. Why? Because he wants you to, it's Jannah for you, paradise. Then what did the Prophet say? Whoever fasts in Ramadan, then passes away, enters paradise. No year mentioned. Look how interesting. It means in Ramadan. If you are fasting, you die in the holy month, you go to paradise. But for jihad, he said it again. Whoever performs jihad and passes away the same year, enters paradise. The jihad is also one of the immense deeds which I mentioned yesterday. Note, if you die, even off the battlefield, you've come off 9, 10, 11 months after, you're still going to paradise by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is suddenly now coming into your hearts? You have a yearning. And this is exactly how the Prophet encouraged the believers to do these deeds. He didn't just say, Hajj is for the lads. Come on. Right? That's what we do, like crackpots. Guy comes, Imam's on his last step, you're talking about fiqh to him. Imagine, the guy is not even praying, he's now suddenly, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given him tawfiq to do Hajj. What are you going to talk to him about? The fiqh, the Hanafi fiqh on Hajj. Next minute, Imam just push him off a cliff, brother, right? Because he's going to think, I'm doing Hajj and now I've got to learn all these rules and regulations, everything's complicated. You can get that, you know, here, brother, you've got an article, there's the dry fiqh, leave that alone. Talk about the virtues. When you hear the virtues, you're thinking, what? How lucky and fortunate am I that Allah has given me tawfiq to do Hajj and Umrah? SubhanAllah, think about that. So we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to do this most glorious deed. So all I mentioned today was basically, again, a few things with regards to the glorious deed of Hajj and also Umrah. But all of this you have to keep in mind, because this is common. Hajj is a yearly, annual deed. Umrah is done all throughout the year. But all of these are common questions people ask. I can't do Hajj. Be honest, how many people have asked you that question? I can't, what, brother, my money's haram. It's not going to be accepted. There you go in it. There's first fruit cake. Another person goes, no brother, 80% halal, 20% haram. But only with absolutely halal I'm going to go. And you say, you can't do that, brother, but why don't you just go? No, Allah Ta'ala wants you to go, even if it's tainted the world. You know, Allahu Akbar. And just to add, which I mentioned, going through Sayyidina Umar's blessed life, radiyallahu. Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu, his Hajj was very simple. When he would travel in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, Sayyid Hadith, from Medina to Makkah, he would not even go under a shelter. He would put a cloth over some branches just to get. Now, why was he doing that? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the more hardship, the more the reward. He didn't even like people doing tamattu, because that's the easy Hajj. This woman wanted you to get the more reward, but he set the standard. People now, healthy as a 5-star hotel. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but there is something wrong with that. What? You're not going to leave the hotel. You want to go to the Kaaba Sharif, but if you're in an air-conditioned hotel with buffet and waiters at your beckons, and you look outside 48 degrees, there you go, unless you got Iman like Imam Ghazali. Right? So why are you making, even giving yourself the opportunity? I want a simple hotel. I don't want buffet, right? I just want to eat, drink, but I want to spend most of the time in the harem. And that's the problem. People don't even make preparations. They go, what's the best package? What's the best package? Don't worry about the best package. But if somebody's elderly or ill, of course, no problem. You know, give them all the, you know, the ease. And don't you want to get more rewards? Look at Sayyidina Umar. Where's your sunnah compared to Sayyidina Umar? He won't even go into a shelter. And you're going into the, look at that hotel, the horrific hotel they've built. You know, the tower. The tower's over the Kaaba Sharif. Imagine it. What's going on there? Astaghfirullah. We need to accommodate. Right? Of course you need to accommodate, but not, you know, around the holy Kaaba. Right? No, just make it in a way, you know, you've got engineers, surely, you know. Subhanallah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصل الحق واصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم